This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Hey everyone, Allison here. Today's episode is brought to you by the All Day IPA from Founders Brewery. Session boldly with the IPA that can hang on as long as you can. Their All Day Session Ale keeps your taste satisfied and your senses sharp, making it the perfect companion for adventure. Naturally brewed with a complex array of malts, grains, and hops, All Day IPA is balanced for optimal aromatics and a clean finish. The perfect reward for an honest day's work and the ultimate companion to celebrate life's simple pleasures. No matter what the season, the full flavor of All Day IPA won't quit, so you don't have to either. Make All Day last even longer with a 15-pack today. Visit alldayipa.com to find All Day IPA near you and start your adventure. Ba-bam!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Hayslip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. This week, like every week, we are going to drink some booze and spit some news.
Ba-ba-da-boom.
With our flight engineer extraordinaire, Tom Suprano-Kraevsky. How you doing, Tom?
It's good to be here. Thank you.
The guns are under wrap today, Tom.
Yeah, because it's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold. You got to put the guns away when it's cold.
It's fucking cold here in L.A.
It's either freezing in the garage or super hot.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized.
What did you just realize?
I just realized I didn't bring my tissue box.
Oh, we're screwed.
We are screwed. There's going to be some disgusting
Alex
sniffles.
Has discovered.
Yes.
He has a sinus infection.
Ha ha!
That's why he was so sick last week. That's why he's still sick.
Yeah.
And you have no tissues.
I have no tissues, which could be a bad thing.
I just thought of snot.
That was an interesting
story. Worst.
Yeah, oh, God. I had so many things coming out of my nose last week.
Let's not talk about it. You already told me about it, and I
want
to get
it. Was gnarly. And then I have this, like, mountain man beard. Because I was just like, when you're sick, you don't want to shave. You just want to kind of like...
No, it serves you well.
It looks good. Like,
your hair still looks epic, too.
Yeah, how is your hair always perfect?
Yeah.
You know what?
You're like an anime character.
It's like your mutant power.
Yeah. I know. It is my mutant power. And by the way, not a great mutant power.
There could be better ones.
Of all the mutant powers you're going to get, perfect hair?
Nah. I always say my mutant ability is the... I can have a conversation with anyone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Good.
You put a person... I mean, as long as we speak the same language. Mm. And even if we don't speak the same language, sometimes I can figure it out.
Yeah. If they're sexy enough, you're like, oh,
the language of love. Oh. Hi.
I do like horse.
So, I do like horse.
I was just thinking, I don't know, it's in my brain. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh. Right,
so
now.
It's because I went to wine tasting once in this foreign place, and I ended up eating horse.
Horse?
What?
Yeah.
You're a horrible, horrible
Chevaux.
Man.
Wow.
Although I tried
it. France, yeah. And I was like, oh, this is great. And they were like, Chevaux. And I was like, Chevaux? Chevaux.
What is that word?
And I was like, does that mean horse? It was actually really good.
Wow. So, Alex, I'm assuming you did nothing this week. Tom?
Lots of stuff. I had a bunch of stuff happen.
What?
Nothing really interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Lots of work.
Tom's like, I existed this week. That was enough.
I had some stuff and some parties. So, yeah.
Oh, parties.
Here I am. You, Allison.
Look at you bragging. I ended up hosting part of the Game Awards.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah.
It was fun. It was great. They called me up like literally 36 hours before the show started. And they were like, you want to do this thing in the Assassin's Creed activation room? I'm like, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was fun. I hadn't gone to the Game Awards in a couple of years. So.
Where is it? Is that the Shrine?
The Microsoft Theater at LA Live.
Got it.
It's just really impressive because Jeff Keighley basically puts on that entire production himself.
When did that start? Like, when was his?
Well, because
the
VGAs ended
and he was like, we gotta do something.
2013, I think, or 2014. And then he took over. Yeah, it must be 2014 because I think this is the second year that he's done it. And it's just the Game Awards. It's not the VGAs anymore because that's owned by Spike, I think.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. It was really nice to kind of be back in it because, you know, I don't, now that I don't work on G4, I'm not like fully
in the game
in the gaming world anymore. Yeah, yeah. So it was like nice to be back around all the people again and like, oh, right, all these games and everyone celebrates these games and it's really cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah. It was, I saw some of it. Like later, a couple different things, like Overwatch won Game of the Year, which was really cool.
Which didn't surprise me at all.
I know.
I mean, come on.
So much fun.
Yeah.
And Hideo Kojima.
Hideo
Kojima?
Yeah,
I think Kojima.
He was awarded, I forget the exact name of the award, but it was like
the Inspirational Award or something
like
that.
Like the Legacy Award.
Yeah, Legacy Award, yeah, something like that.
I actually like snapped a selfie with him real quick. Cool. I was like, I believe.
And that's so funny. Dude, Metal Gear, man.
I know.
Changed some shit.
Changed some shit. Yeah.
That was really when stealth action became like a thing where I was like, oh yeah, I see. Right. I don't want them to see me. And if they do, I'm fucked.
Boring.
Yeah. No,
no.
My favorite. Do you remember Splinter Cell?
I don't play those. They're like boring.
No, but the one that I... So, multiplayer to me is why I play games.
No.
That's the exact opposite of why I play games.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love playing with other people, right?
I love playing by myself and experiencing a storyline.
I know, and there's really good stories, and I get that I miss a lot of that shit. Like, I get it.
Right.
But the thing that that blows my mind is when games take competitive multiplayer to a level where you're like, I don't even know what is happening. Like Assassin's Creed, I think it was Assassin's Creed 3 did it?
The one with the pirate ship, right?
No.
Wasn't that? No?
No, not that. Well, it might have been that
Colonial
one.
Colonial Boston?
But it was the one, no, not Colonial Boston. It was the one right before that one. But it was where you had to, the competitive multiplayer was, everybody is dressed as one of the
Templar or something like that.
Well,
right?
No, it's one of the NPCs.
Oh, okay.
And then your job is you get a thing. You have to kill one of these NPCs, but there's like 50 of them.
Right.
But one of them is a player.
Cool. Oh, I see.
And so the whole thing is you have to pretend, and the NPCs can't run. Only players can run.
Oh.
And you have like a target that you can kind of like see. That's cool. They're in this general direction. And they're all walking together, and you're like, which one of these fuckers is the actual human? But then they can kill you.
Right.
And then they get points. It was like stuff like that makes me go, see, we're not like people think it's
see,
like
stuff
oh,
like that
shooter.
Just gives me anxiety because I'm like, I'm doing the same thing every round.
Yeah.
All I want to do is fall in love with a character and see them go through.
I see what you're saying,
strifes and anguish, and then reward. And yes,
you can see us go through anguish.
I know,
and
that's life.
What
speaking
video
of
games?
My favorite character, Nathan Drake, Mr. Nolan North, won Performance of the Year.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I know.
Why do we like killing in video games so much? Like, I'm not a violent guy in real life, but I love like killing in video games
because
like,
it's something Fallout we don't do in real life.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have no desire to hurt anybody, but like video games.
That's why I don't really understand that big controversy that like violent video games lead to violent tendencies. God, that sounds like Westworld. but I feel like it's the way that people get out.
I guess
their violent tendencies.
Yeah, I'm like the biggest wuss in the world. I'm not gonna fight anybody.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
Give
me
know.
A gun in a video game. Well, I'll murder the world.
I feel like I've mentioned this before, but you know, like a lot of troops are gamers. A lot of guys in our military, or women are in our military. People in our military,
things
they,
in our military. Tanks love video games.
But they like after going out on patrol all day, they come back and play like Call of Duty, that sort of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
I would assume that they would play, you know, Mario Kart or something like that.
Yeah.
So not even remotely war-based. But no, it's because, you know, thankfully, the vast majority of the time that you're actually deployed overseas, you don't see combat. Yeah. You're trained for combat, but you don't see combat.
Yeah.
So playing Call of Duty actually allows them to sort of get out the anxiety that they have from all this training.
Yeah.
But
anxiety
is
the wrong word.
Wouldn't
but you
like,
know
get confused when you're out in the field when you finally have to reload and you're trying to hit the B button?
I don't think
wait a minute.
I have a feeling if your life depends on it.
B button.
You're not going to pretend that there's a B button in your hand.
All I would do is I would draw a B button on my reload button.
That's hilarious.
And then I'd be done.
Great.
I'd be
done.
Like, quick, B.
B.
L trigger.
Oh, and if you let it run out, it takes twice as long to reload.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my thumb. Ka-chunk. Ka-chink.
Oh, man. All right, let's read
some emails.
How about some emails?
Well, this is a follow-up.
A follow-up?
On the drinking with your parents.
Oh, bang. Great. Yeah, someone tweeted me about that, too.
Yeah, so drinking with parents is from Joe. Mm-hmm. In a recent episode, Sick Days, there seemed to be some confusion of the laws of drinking about drinking with your parents.
Let's be honest, there's confusion about everything on every episode.
It depends on where you live.
Oh,
here in Wisconsin, those under the legal drinking age may be served, possess, or consume alcohol if they are with parents, legal guardian, or spouse who is of legal drinking age.
Oh.
Which, by the way, that just got real creepy real quick.
Well, no, I guess if you're 21 and your wife is 19.
Those age 18 to 20 may also possess but not consume alcohol as any part of their employment.
What?
Meaning you can sell...
Oh, you can serve it. Like if you're a bartender, you can bartend at 18 or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. Per Mr. Google... In California, there are no exceptions. It is always illegal.
Really?
Your state is a total buzzkill.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. And this is great. He said, the best quote from the confusion over Wisconsin drinking law is, Wisconsin does not have a minimum drinking age. That means even a five-year-old goes into a bar with his or her parents or legal guardian, he or she can also drink.
Oh, wow.
The bar owner, of course, always has the right to refuse.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks,
interesting.
Joe from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I miss Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's funny. So he said, P.S., big Allison fan. When she came to Wisconsin to film Battleground for Hulu, my wife asked me if I wanted to try to meet you, because I guess you were doing like a bar meetup or something.
I have no idea.
Okay,
sure.
Well, let's
Maybe
say
I
you
was.
Were.
Yeah.
But leaving the wife and kids, driving an hour to go bar hopping downtown Madison to try to find a cute blonde actress from California so I could get a picture with her seemed wrong on some level. But still, big fan.
Hilarious. I don't think I was doing a proper meetup. I might have just been tweeting like, we're here.
I'm at a bar. Come get me.
Yeah.
Come get me. That's probably not what you said.
No.
I don't know if that's
that's not what I said.
Probably not what you said. I'm going to say probably.
Well, thank you for listening, Joe.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of tweets, I saw your tweet the other day, Mrs. Three Whiskey Sours in.
Ooh, what?
No, Whiskey Sodas.
Whiskey Sodas.
Yeah. No, well, I... But by the way, the amount of people who took me seriously with that tweet like racked me up.
I loved it, but I was like, oh, I gotta ask Allison about this later.
So I tweeted, I've had three whiskey sodas. Now is definitely the right time to call my ex and tell him he's an idiot, right?
Yeah,
would have been awesome.
I know.
No, I wasn't even like thinking about anyone in particular. I was going to bed. I'm like, I'm drunk. I'm glad I don't drunk dial people. I mean, that's a lie. There is one guy that I was like, he's a fucking idiot. And then I was like, oh, this will be a funny tweet. Like, it wasn't
Got
even
it.
Like a, there was no part of me that was actually going to call him.
It wasn't like it cry for help.
No, it was more like this would be hilarious to tweet and I'm going to tweet this now.
Yeah,
just the guy that
hysterical.
Wanted to put the venom or tarantula
stuff. No, thank
stuff
God.
On
tarantula stuff.
So you weren't going to drunk
I mean, he's a fucking idiot too, but there's no way I would ever contact him.
I totally
There's
forgot
no
about
amount of alcohol you could put in my body that would make me want to reach out to him.
The venom penis guy?
Yeah. Venom penis guy. I love that's his nickname now.
Hello, I'm Venice penis guy.
Oh my God. Of course he has an accent.
Well, no American goes, I think I should put venom on my penis.
he's American. Fully fucking American.
God damn it.
I think he was from Colorado. I forget.
Well, yeah, that makes
part
sense.
Of America,
that makes sense.
That's a part of America.
That's a part of America where people put things on their penis.
Apologies to the rest of Colorado.
Yeah. They're all stoned. They don't care. let's see. No. Yes. Here we go. Ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Reading.
Okay.
And short attention spans.
Great.
Yeah.
It's from Matthew.
Oh, this was we talked about this.
Yeah. This is why
Got
all
it.
Of these are emails. hello, HHH crew.
Yeah.
Hello.
Maybe there was an extra H. I didn't realize. I was just listening to the episode Sick Days, and Allison mentioned that she doesn't feel like she has the attention span to be the active reader she used to be.
Right.
I also had this problem.
Okay.
And I thought I'd suggest something that got me back into the habit of reading more.
Yes, please.
Read short story collections and anthologies.
Oh.
The stories are generally about the length of a chapter in a novel.
Right.
But they're complete stories. This way, when you close the book, to play a game after one chapter, you're not left feeling guilty for not reading more of the story. You're left feeling satisfied having read the entire narrative.
This is really smart.
And feeling positive about reading rather than guilty may make you feel more enthusiastic about getting back into long-form narrative.
Are you inside my head?
It certainly did the trick for me. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Who was this? We didn't get his name.
Matthew.
Matthew! Thank you, Matthew.
I know. I was like, that's very insightful.
Yeah.
Plus, I really love... I feel like there's a lot of, like, good... So, like, Arrival just came out. Mm-hmm. There's another one that just came out that are all based
on short stories. Yeah.
And I feel like that's
I'm sorry,
a really...
I'm sorry, they're based on what?
Short stories.
Yeah, you said short stories.
Short stories.
What? Fuck you guys.
Breaking Bad.
Oh, my God.
Game of Thrones.
Gamma Thrones?
Isn't that how you guys pronounce it? Like Game of Thrones.
Like gamma rays?
Yeah. It's a Gamma Thrones. Yeah. There's so many gammas going on.
Oh, my goodness.
So many people gamming each other. Oh, God.
Good Lord.
Anyway, yeah, but it's so cool that there's so many... movies coming out now that I was like, yeah, I bet you there's some fucking badass short stories that I just haven't
stories.
What is
you
wrong?
Keep saying short stories.
What I don't understand the difference.
Short stories.
No.
What did you say?
I say short stories.
Short stories. Short stories.
Yeah.
I think I say short stories like Alan.
Yeah, short stories.
Short stories.
No.
Short stories.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, why is this
short
an issue?
Stories. What is happening?
Short stories.
Anyway, you think there's a lot of short stories.
Yeah.
Did I just say that?
I don't know. I don't
short
know.
Short stories.
I think you did.
Short stories. Oh my God.
There are a lot of not long form story content.
Not long form story content.
I would like to start reading some because I feel like there's a good opportunity.
Well, there's so many good Isaac Asimov ones that I feel like could still be made into movies.
Yeah, or like Philip K. Dick did a lot of that. Like,
although it is interesting because I don't think we've talked about Arrival since I've seen it, but that was one of the things. Like, I think Arrival is an absolutely stunning film.
Yeah,
but it does feel a little thin, for lack of a better word, and because it really is just one storyline, and normally movies have a B, if not a C, storyline.
Yeah,
and it wasn't until afterwards that I did the research and found out it was based on a short story, and that's when I was like, oh, now I get it, because you just don't have. You know, it's not like turning Game of Thrones into a TV show where you have
too many storylines.
So
you got to cut things down. Yeah,
source material. Yeah. You know, yes, I think we should make more movies based on really well written short stories.
Well, I think about you say what?
No, I'm saying there you have it.
I also feel like all good original movies come from the kernel of a great idea.
Right.
Right. And so I feel like if that kernel comes from a non long form narrative.
Right.
Whatever they may be called.
Right.
Then that's just a good jumping off point for a really good script writer.
Right. I agree.
To flush that story out based on an idea, a kernel.
Yeah.
Which is how they write anyway. You know what I mean? They have a kernel of an idea. You know, they always talk about, producers always talk about like the elevator pitch and like all these things where it's like if you can't explain the sort of hook of your movie in, you know, two lines or whatever, then maybe it's a little too complicated. You know what I mean? Which, it's funny, getting into producing, it's so 100% true.
Right.
Like, there are scripts that I read that I'm like, oh my God, I love the script. And then when I'm trying to explain it to somebody, I'm like, well, it's sort of like, okay, so this happens, that happens. And I'm like, maybe this isn't a great idea for a movie because I have to literally say what happens through the entire script in order to tell you what the script's about.
You can't just be like, the woman babysits kids and they get into this adventure.
Right. Yeah.
It's called
Adventures of Babysitting.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Adventures of Babysitting.
Nailed it.
I love it.
You just said, by the way, flush it out. Like, flush. I think it's flesh it out.
Flesh it out. Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's flesh it out.
You flesh out the story. You don't flesh it out.
Flesh out?
You're a producer now, man. Come on.
You flesh it out. Like, you give it life.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like adding flesh to the thing.
Yeah.
Not flushing it.
When you flush it out, you're throwing it away.
Oh. Yeah.
Or you're detoxing it or something like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Flesh it out. All right,
flesh
that's good.
Yep. Tom's the writer. Let's
now you're
going to
sound like a real pro when you go into your meetings.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you need to flesh out.
Hey guys.
Hey, you know Alex guy knows what he's talking about.
Look at all these industry terms that I know.
Let's flush this version of the script because it sucks, and flesh out this version because it's great.
So this is a couple
meeting adjourned.
Done and done.
Who was that guy?
So a couple months ago, so my friend Amy Paffrath, who we had on the show during Drunksmith, right? Her husband is currently in Jersey Boys on Broadway.
Okay.
And he was he did the national tour for a while, and then he got asked to go to Broadway. So they were debating on if he should take the job because it meant him moving to New York for a long period of time, and they live out here and that whole thing. So she and I were hiking one day, and we were talking about it, and you know, she was telling me about how they were like going back and forth about everything, and the whole negotiation process, and they were going to walk away from the deal and this whole thing, and then she goes, but we ended up getting his mermaid rate, so he decided to take the job. And in my head, I'm like, mermaid rate? I'm like,
that's a new saying.
I was like, is this some industry term that I haven't heard yet? You know,
it must be a Broadway quote.
Well, so I asked Amy, and I was like, what does that mean? His mermaid rate? Thinking like it's his ultimate goal or something like that. Yeah. And she goes, oh no, it's what he made when he did The Little Mermaid. And I was like, oh. But now we use that as a phrase.
Amazing.
We're like, hey, did you get your mermaid right?
That's amazing.
He was a great Ariel, by the way.
Yeah.
That
was good. Oh, I love it.
Mermaid rate.
Mermaid rate. Yeah.
Well, my mermaid rate.
Everybody needs mermaid rates.
Yeah. Yep.
I want my sickness to have a mermaid rate.
Yeah. Do we have another email or should we get into stories?
Well, how about we do both?
Oh my gosh, what? I love it.
Coincidence.
Crossover.
Or specifically not. All right, here we go. Oh, this is great. Greetings, wait.
You're fired. You're fired.
Greetings, ha ho ha ho.
Half hour, happy hour. Oh, ha ho ha ho.
Ha ho ha ho.
How can we take us almost 100 episodes?
Ha ho ha ho.
That's what a foreign Santa says, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Welcome, children. Ha ho ha ho ha ho. Please come sit on lap. Ha ho ha ho ha ho. Ha ho ha ho! I'm here with you.
I'm thinking
I'm
of.
Glad you're not sick this week.
I'm thinking of the Seven Dwarfs. Ha ho ha ho. His ha to her key ho.
Anyway, longtime fan of Miss Hayslip from AOTS.
Woo!
Been going back and watching all the 4 points as well.
Wow.
Always. Anyway, check out this article about diamond batteries.
Ooh.
Thanks, Floby.
Thanks, Floby.
This is from Floby. So this is crazy.
What's crazy?
Scientists are turning nuclear waste into super efficient diamond batteries.
How?
None of this makes any sense to me whatsoever. How do you take radioactive shit? Yeah.
Right, yes.
And put a lot of pressure on it?
No.
Okay. That's how you make diamonds, though. Yeah.
Right. But so here's the deal.
Okay.
Why is radioactive shit bad? Because it's fucking radioactive.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does radioactive mean? It's spewing energy.
Yeah.
It's just really bad energy that'll give you cancer die.
Yeah.
Cancer die.
It'll give you cancer die.
Yeah.
But it's very efficient.
Okay.
So it's basically still making energy.
Right.
It's just we don't want
it's like
any
in The Martian.
Of it.
He goes and digs it up. Because
right.
It creates all the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what these scientists have discovered is they were like, well, wait a minute. What if we could figure out a way to harness the energy of nuclear waste?
Well, this sounds like a supervillain.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. But what they realized is they said if you encase nuclear waste in a diamond.
Oh my gosh.
Because diamond is so hard,
right.
the nuclear energy
cannot escape it.
The radiation can't get out of it.
Right.
Wow.
But you can harness the energy that it makes.
Okay.
So you can basically make super long lasting nuclear powered batteries.
Wow. Okay.
Now, not a lot of energy. Because we've
not
a lot of energy.
Also
because
expensive
it's been,
with diamonds,
right? Yeah. How is any of this worth it? I'm like,
well, but think about it.
Thinking.
So
we
are, yeah.
Right now, the way that it works is like a regular battery, like a AA battery,
right?
Yeah, I think it's like 700 joules. What is the? Let me just see.
You're
like numbers doesn't
numbers.
Matter. Numbers doesn't matter.
Joules like J O U.
Joules burn. Here we go.
L E S.
Yeah, joules. Okay, so. A AA battery is about 20 grams. The energy into it is about 700 joules per gram, right? But if you use this energy continuously, it goes out in 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
Right? Now, we never use the energy.
Right.
Basically, you get 24 hours of go juice.
Battery life.
Right, yeah.
Right. Go juice.
But here's the crazy thing.
Yes?
If you use 1 gram... of this, I think it's carbon-14, which is one of the big, like the most...
The radioactive motherfuckers.
This is one of those most radioactive motherfuckers.
Yeah.
It delivers 15 joules a day. Now...
Wow.
That
okay.
does not seem like a lot of joules.
No.
Oh, it's not a lot of joules.
But it will give you 15 joules a day for 5,775 years.
But we don't need that.
But do we?
No.
So this is the thing.
Why get really expensive diamond batteries?
Because you could use this in places where you cannot get access to be able to change the batteries. Or in a situation where running out of batteries is not a fucking option.
Right.
Like space.
Like space.
Yeah.
Oh.
So basically you get a never ending stream of energy.
So for the carbon monoxide detector that's on the International Space Station,
which
they could just put in one of these batteries.
Boom.
Which should never boom.
Which should never go out, right? You never want that to
be out.
Well,
I was thinking
more
you don't want to be stuck in the International Space Station and that beeping happens.
Right.
Yeah, and you gotta rip off the wall.
Mainly it's the annoying thing of like, who the fuck? We're out of batteries. How are we out of batteries? We're NASA.
NASA, send up more batteries. Cool. It'll take us about 3 weeks. Right. No!
The beeping is never ending.
Oh, I'd lose my mind.
Yeah. But so that's just an example of like a place where you don't want, you know, or you can't change a battery.
Right.
Or like you could put, you know, some sort of, you know, thing in a place under the water that, like, it would cost you $50,000 just to go down every time you need to change a fucking battery on a light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. Now I understand the usefulness of this.
But
it is
also,
not for everyday consumption.
Yeah. No, it's not like we're going to.
No.
Well, but then you go, what if you spent?
Okay.
What if somebody said, you will spend $150, maybe let's say $1,000.
Okay.
On a flashlight.
All right.
And it will never not be working.
You know the last time I used a flashlight?
All right. Flashlight was the wrong choice.
Yeah. I don't even know the last time
Tamagotchi?
I used a flashlight.
Let's say you could buy a $1,000 Tamagotchi.
Aww.
And you never had to worry about your poor thing dying because you let the little watch battery die.
See?
You can have a Tamagotchi. You can have a Tamagotchi that could live for 5,000 years.
Did I ever tell you about the time I had a Tamagotchi? Like when I was, I don't know, when they first came out, whenever that was. And my brother, just to spite me, reset it.
No.
And I was so upset with him.
Yeah.
It's still one of these things. I got to remember this story because I have to say it in his when I give a speech at his wedding. Because it's like,
amazing.
Like legitimately, and I mean, I know what I'm about to say is ridiculous, but it's probably the worst thing he ever did to me.
Amazing.
That's how upset I was.
Wow.
I was crushed. I mean, I was like, I will never forgive him. But also the fact that my brother resetting my Tamagotchi is the worst thing that he's ever done to me is
pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty nice.
I used to overfeed my sister's Tamagotchi.
I love that you
make it fat. I forget what it is.
I love it that you were a little bit. You were like, "Well, I would feel bad resetting the Tamagotchi, but I'm gonna make this
reset
a fat fucking Tamagotchi."
To reset it, you had to take a paperclip and unfold it and stab it through the little hole in the back. You
stab it through the hole in the tart.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like
Tamagotchi heart hole.
Oh, it hurt my heart.
Oh my god.
Now, if she had a Furby, I probably would have.
A Furby.
Furbies.
I never
what
had a
Furby.
What
was the thing?
God.
What was the, like, thing? You remember, like, so for
Beanie
my
Babies?
Was it
Tickle
Babies?
Me Elmo?
Was it Tickle Me Elmo? I mean, for you, like,
no.
For my little, for
okay,
my
so
older
when
sister,
I
was Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, no, I was going to say it was Cabbage Patch Kids for me, too. My grandmother bought me a Cabbage Patch Kid out of a man's trunk.
Oh,
like, she literally bought like a black market Cabbage Patch Kid.
I think you told us about this now that I think about it. Because I remember
that
story.
Actually, I feel like
it was
during last Drunksmas.
Oh, maybe. That does sound right.
Drunksmas is coming up, you guys.
Should we
talk about that a little to our fans. We'll obviously post info about this online, but we will be recording Drunksmas on December 16th.
Friday,
December 16th, starting at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Because Alex has to drive to San Diego afterwards. Well, not drive. Heather will drive. Because Heather has
to
drive
Alex. Medically transported to San Diego.
So last year, you guys were so helpful by sending us food and
booze
toys and booze. Yeah. It was great. And it really felt like we had a holiday party while we were recording.
It did. It totally did.
So we're going to be asking the same of you this year.
Yep. And we're going to be at the same place.
Well, I'll post all that info.
I don't have the address in my head, but...
So we'll post all that, but thank you guys in advance for everything you're going to send us, because we do this for you.
Oh my god, I remember last year was so crazy. What were some of the crazy ones? Didn't we get like a Baja Fresh, like platter, like party platter.
We got
so much food.
We got all those bagels, bagel sandwiches.
Yeah, the bagel sandwiches.
That came like near the end of the day, and I was like, I can't eat anymore.
Chick-fil-A, they sent us.
Chick-fil-A.
So much food.
Didn't we get a pizza? We must have got a pizza.
Oh, we definitely got a pizza. Yeah, yeah. We got sent cakes and macaroons and juices.
Sushi. We got sushi,
and
too.
Oh, sushi. Yeah. And someone sent us Pedialyte.
Oh, that was fun. And diapers, right?
Diapers?
No, we didn't get sent diapers.
We got Pedialyte and something
condoms.
Else.
Condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still have those?
We got sent a Lego. I built a Lego. I still
have
it.
That was actually fun. That took many episodes for you to get that Lego done.
That took your focus.
I believe it wasn't a boat and a boat harness or something like that?
A boat harness? It was a trailer for a boat, yes.
Yeah.
But with a boat, right?
Yes, a boat with a trailer for a boat.
Yeah. A boat harness.
I guess what you could call
it. Call it a boat harness.
Sure.
Classic nautical term.
Oh, yeah. Man. Ooh, guys, Drunksmiths, I'm excited. So,
excited.
We're recording Friday, December 16th, and it'll start airing Monday, December 19th. And that's for 12 days straight. Oh, we need a new 12 Days of Drunksmiths song.
I know. So here's the deal.
Okay, what's the deal?
This.
Yeah.
If we do not receive a new 12 Days of Drunksmiths song.
Oh, you guys, you can email us a 12 Days of Drunksmiths
somebody
song.
Somebody has to. But if we do not receive one,
right.
We will just use the old one.
Yeah.
Because
we have to use a 12 Days of Drunksmiths song.
Sure.
We do.
So,
but guys, we'd love
scenario,
a new one. We'd love
a new one
with new references.
Yep.
Maybe if you want. You guys can figure out amongst yourselves, and you guys can all pick a day and just.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, just do one.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, talk amongst yourselves.
Figure that. I feel
on
like
that, on that half hour, happy hour forum.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So
I don't know. Start something
right
on Reddit or something like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. I love it. All right, let's get to another story, shall we?
Yes, please.
This warmed my heart.
Oh, that's good because I'm freezing.
And also warmed my stomach a bit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ready for this? Dun, 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 woman dun. Buys. 23-pound lobster.
Whoa.
Named King Louie.
Aww.
To set him free.
Yay!
Sounds like it's going to end horribly.
No.
No?
No.
Can he still live?
Long live King Louie.
What?
Yeah.
The 23-pound lobster has been given a second chance of life after a woman who bought him set him free.
Aww.
So, first off, this thing is fucking ridiculous.
Looks so...
Jesus, that's terrifying.
So the bottom line
that's
is you
nightmare
think about,
material.
You think about like a big lobster is like 3 pounds.
Right.
That is the size of one of King Louis's claws.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
They estimate that he is 100 years old.
Oh, you can't eat him.
Well, they caught him.
Just, I know.
You know, and they were like, I guess they caught him. What are you going to do? And so this woman in Canada bought him and was like, well, I'm gonna buy him and then let him go. So she gave him to a fisherman, this guy right here.
Yeah.
He took him out to sea where they do the lobster stuff.
Lobstering.
Yeah.
And they set him free.
Oh,
so King Louis is back.
Okay, this makes me feel better because originally I thought you were gonna say he was caught and then he was like kept for so long that he grew to 23 pounds, because then I was like, oh, I don't know how he can survive in the wild.
No, it wasn't like,
no, but he was caught at 23
he was
pounds
caught at 23
and then
pounds.
Just almost immediately released back in. How much did this woman have to pay for him?
$230.
$230.
So, $10 a pound, is that what?
Yeah, something
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
$10 a pound.
Wouldn't it make more sense to save young lobsters?
You know,
that one's gonna die.
No,
they give younger lobsters lives.
He's 100 years old. He knows how to survive, man.
Well, that's the other thing. Is I feel like at 100 years old, like let the guy die a natural death.
let's not eat him.
Boil the guy. Plus, what pot is that big?
That's true.
You gotta go. Throw him in a jacuzzi.
I was just gonna say that.
You know what I mean? Like that dude's like, and even in a jacuzzi, you gotta watch out because that jacuzzi's gonna be hot for a while.
So he's free in the oceans of Canada.
He's free. In the oceans in Canada.
I'm gonna go find him and eat him just to spite
you
guys.
Hey, this woman,
I don't even like
she rocks.
Kate, I think his name, or Kathy, what's her name?
Yeah, I think it would be a Kathy.
Katie Conklin. And by the way, she's a vegan.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yep.
I was actually going to say it'd be kind of better if she wasn't. She just like felt bad for them.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, she loves eating shit.
Yeah.
And then she just said, she was like, not this guy.
He
sees
this guy.
This guy's cool. This guy and I.
King Louie.
Man, 23 pounds.
Yeah, that's a fucking big lobster.
Can he be our mascot? Didn't we have a mascot? Didn't we have a show mascot?
The Kinder Egg, maybe?
Yeah, the Kinder Egg's probably our mascot. Yeah, King Louie can be our honorary mascot.
Yeah. How funny would that be if like one of the Kinder Eggs had like a lobster in it?
And we opened it up. We're like, ta-da! It's King Louie!
Amazing. How we doing on time there, Tom?
I think we got to do another story.
A few minutes left. Dude.
All right, have a fun. Let's do a fun one.
Yeah.
Let's do one that's like, really?
Yes. Really?
Really? You ready for this?
Yep.
Cecil County woman.
Where's Cecil County?
No idea. Okay. Oh, Maryland.
Great.
Sets home on fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Using lighter to see under couch.
No! Oh, no!
So this woman dropped something under a couch.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it and thought, you know what? I need some light under here. I'm going to light this lighter.
See, she needed one of those $1,000 never die flashlights.
Boom. Radioactive flashlight?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Much, much better than lighting your couch on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
And then running out.
What was she looking for?
Let's see if it says. Let's see if it says.
Setting your house on fire?
After the owner accidentally set her couch on fire while attempting to see under it with a lighter.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me see. The officer said that the mobile home.
That just sucks because that's. Oh, it was a mobile home.
Didn't say what she was looking for.
It just sucks because, like, that's one of those moments. Like, it seems like such an innocuous moment.
Yeah.
And that turns into something fucking life changing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or one of those things where we've all had those moments where in a flash you go, oh, that was stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is a way less scale.
Yeah.
But this happened like 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
I had a glass of water.
Yep.
Full glass of water.
Okay.
No lid. Right. Sometimes I go to bed, I have a water bottle next to my bed. But it was a full glass of what, like a normal glass.
Yeah.
And there's a light next to my bed.
Yep.
But it's not close enough for me to reach in my bed.
Okay.
And it was already off.
Okay.
There's a light across the room.
Okay.
On. I stopped watching TV.
Right.
So I get up.
To turn off the other light.
I go turn off the other light.
Yeah.
Walking back.
Oh, no.
Thirsty.
Yeah.
Pitch fucking black. I just turned my light off.
Right.
But I was like, I can make this happen. Bam, knock the thing over.
A whole glass of water.
Whole glass of water right on the bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in that moment, I was like, the fuck didn't I turn the light on?
Right.
Why the fuck did I think pitch black?
Yeah.
Having just turned the light on.
Right.
So it's not like pitch black and I'm waking up.
But your eyes have adjusted to it. Yeah,
it's been bright. Now it's pitch black.
Yeah, and now it's just cost you another like 10 minutes of cleaning everything
and
up before
I
you can go to bed.
I just thought, best idea.
Yeah.
Reach for the glass of water.
Right.
Was the whole mattress soaked?
And you know what? Thankfully, it was more on the floor, but it was like, and it was one of those things where I was like, rah, fuck, rah, rah, juggling, and like, but it's like my phone's there, my watch is there, like everything is there, and I was just like, but it's one of those moments where you're like,
right.
Oh, fuck, I can't see. Oh, I have a lighter. Lighter makes me see. Flick.
Yeah.
No! You know what I mean?
Right, like, right.
classic.
Classic. I'm glad I don't have lighters
classic
under my bed.
Classic Albrecht.
Yeah,
that sucks, man. Have you seen the videos of why you should never deep fry a frozen turkey?
Oh, yes.
I have not, but I've
amazing.
Seen. I know that deep frying turkey is a big deal.
But you have to deep fry a thawed turkey. You can't deep fry a frozen turkey, which some people make that mistake.
Ah.
And it's because the hot oil is so hot that the frozen ice particles on the turkey go from ice to steam immediately.
Oh.
It doesn't go to water.
So it becomes a pocket full of steam balls.
Right. And the steam just immediately rises and lifts the hot oil with it.
Oh,
and
my
so it
God.
Just, you put the frozen turkey in it and immediately it is like a ball of flame shooting out of the thing because it's all the hot oil then hitting the air and hitting everything around it and setting everything on fire.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so don't ever deep fry a frozen turkey.
Just don't cook.
I'd like to deep. I want to deep fry a turkey though. I've heard it's good.
I know. Yeah. I've heard it's good too.
Yeah.
My family did a turducken once at Christmas. You remember those?
Like, they did it on their own. They actually stuffed it all.
No. We bought it. Yeah. We bought it, and then
we
cooked it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've not tried the turducken.
Turducken. It was good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Chicken duck and turkey.
This year we did smoke. Smoked turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your smoker that you gave to your dad?
No, not mine. Not mine. My brother-in-law took a class, like a smoker class.
Nice.
And has this like fancy smoker and smoked the turkey, and it was great.
Nice.
Oh my God, it was so juicy.
I like it.
So
good. I'm hungry now, you guys.
I know. I feel like I need some food.
All right. Well, how about we wrap up the episode then?
Yeah, and get some food.
And get some food.
Everybody get food.
What? Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. If we got something wrong, which I'm sure we did, you can email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. I mean, you can just email us to tell us we're awesome too if you want.
Yeah.
And email us 12 Days of Drunksmith songs if you got them.
Yay.
And remember, we're recording Friday, February. We're recording Friday, December 16th, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Specific time.
We will post something about where you can send us food and alcohol and toys and whatever. And that would be awesome. And you can follow us on Twitter, Half Hour Happy HR. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. That was disgusting, Alex. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or, but not Google Play.
No.
Apparently, we can't figure out how to get on that. If anyone has an answer to that, that would be awesome.
Science.
And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Hayslip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. Sitting in with us is the flight engineer extraordinaire, Tom Supervolcano Krajewski.
Thanks for having me.
And we will see you next week.
Woo!
Peace.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.